On Nun Zayin Amud Beis, about four lines from the bottom. Actually, a little bit more. It's almost, I guess, seven lines from the bottom. Hahu Uvda, there was this story, Dahava B'Mechoza, in the town Mechoza. Asa Ovid Kochav Ma'il Chanusa di Yisrael, a Gentile entered a store owned by Jewish storekeepers. Amar Luhu, he told the Jewish storekeepers, Isluchu Chamer Lizvune, do you have any wine to sell? Amru Leilo. They said, no, we don't have any wine. Hava Yasav Chamer Bedavla. Now there was wine in a bucket. Shad Beyada. He put his hand into this liquid. Sichsech Be. So it's more than just touched. He actually stirred it. Amar Luhu, then he said to the store owners, Hai Lav Chamerhu, this isn't wine? So they got very angry. You just ruined our wine. Shakle heyach berischei. They took it with anger, shaji ladana, and threw it out. In other words, you just ruined it. We're not going to let you drink from it. And then the question becomes, so what's the status? He didn't know it was wine. He wasn't intending to pour for Avodah Zarah. He didn't know it was even wine when he put his hand in there. What's the status? So Sharye Rava Lizvune Lovit Kochav. Rava said, okay, the Jew shouldn't drink it because it was touched by the non-Jew. But you could get benefit. So the Jewish storekeeper, he thought he had lost the ability to sell it. It didn't. He could just sell it to a non-Jew. Ifli Galei Ravuna Barchinav Ravuna Barav Nachman. Ravuna, the son of Chinan, Ravuna, the son of Rav Nachman, disagreed with Rava. And they said that even though the non-Jew didn't know it was wine, but the non-Jew stirred it, and therefore you can't get any benefit from it. So Nafik Shipuri de Rava, out came the pronouncements of Rava, the trumpet blasts and the ruling. You are allowed to get benefit, but you just can't drink it. The Sharu permitting the benefit. And the trumpets came out from Rav Huna Bar Chinan, Rav Huna, son of Rav Nachman, saying, you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. So you had two different rulings. All right. Ikla Rav Huna Bered Rav Nachman. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, who said, you can't get any benefit from it. He came to Mechoza, which apparently was the city of Rava. Now Rashi says, Rava, as we're going to see soon, ends up changing his mind. Abaye proves to him that he was wrong. So he changes his mind. He had been the one who said you could get benefit. He changes his mind. He agrees you can't get benefit. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, came to Mechoza apparently after Rava changed his mind. Amar le Rava le Rav Yakim Shame. Rava told Rav Yakim, his attendant, his personal secretary, Trok Trok Gali, make sure to close the door of my house. Tlonesi Inchi Dinitrit, because I don't want the people to come who are going to give me a hard time. I don't want Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, to come to with questions and say, how could you say it's permitted to get benefit? It's not permitted to get benefit. I don't want the issues. But it didn't work. Even though he had told him to keep the door locked, Ola Gabe, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, did go into Rava. Amarle, and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, picked a fight. He said to him, Ki hai gavna mai. What's the law in this case? What's the law if a non-Jew puts his hand and stirs the wine when it's clear that it wasn't intent for Avodah Zarah, because he didn't even know it was wine? But he put his hand in. So Amarle, so Rava said back, Asra filubana. You're right. You can't even get benefit from it. It's prohibited. So then Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nachman, said, V'amar hu d'amar sich seich, eino se yayin nesach. But you're the one who said in the story, remember, in the first story, which was in Mechoza, in your town, you're the one who said in this case that if the non-Jew stirs the wine, it's not yayin nesach, you can just sell it to the non-Jew. So Rav sort of lied. He said, Eimar d'amri ana, when did I say that it's not prohibited with benefit? That is levar midameha dahu chamra. That's besides the value of the wine that he touched. But dame dahu chamra, but the wine that the non-Jew touched because he stirred, Me, Amri, am I saying that you could really get benefit from them? No, you have to take that value and throw it out into the Dead Sea. I was really saying that the wine that he touches and stirs does become prohibited with benefit. Just the other wine in the store doesn't become prohibited with benefit. But that's really not true, Rashi says. He's just saying it to get away from this uncomfortable discussion. All right, so now the Gemara explains why Rava backed down. Amar Rava. Rava explained. Right? Originally, Rava had been the one who said that when the non-Jew goes into the store and he stirs up the wine, so since he didn't know when he put his hand into that barrel that it was wine, so certainly he wasn't stirring it for Avodah Zarah, so it's only prohibited to drink, but you are allowed to get benefit. But then Rava changed his mind. Why? Because Kiyasai the Pumpadisa, when I came to Pumpadisa, Akfa Nachmeni Shmaitzo Masnisa de Asir, I was surrounded by Abaye, who's called Nachmeni, with rulings as well as a brisa that prohibited wine that was touched without intent of idolatry by a non-Jew from benefit, and that's why I backed down. What were the shmaitza? What were the lessons? The same story happened in Naharda. Apparently there was a store. A non-Jew walked into the store. He asked for wine. They said they didn't have wine. He put his hand into the barrel to stir it. And that was the story that they had in Naharda. The Asar. And in fact, it was prohibited. Shmuel prohibited it. Shmuel said you can't get any benefit from it. Apparently the same story happened also in Tveria, which is all over in the land of Israel. V'asa Rabbi Yochanan. And there Rabbi Yochanan said, you couldn't get any benefit from it. So Abaye says to Rava, you're saying that touch without intent doesn't create a prohibition of benefit, but we saw that if both in Naharda and in Tveria, the Talmid HaChacham who were there, Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, they ruled that touch without intent does create a prohibition of getting any benefit.
This is the same generation, or is it?
I think actually a little bit earlier, right? Sure. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, I think, are before Abaye and Rava. Furthermore, I mean, it's not a totally different league, but they're all Amoraim. Furthermore, okay, one second, before we get to the furthermore. So then the Gemara says, Va'amrile, so Rava related, I said back to Nachmeni, I said back to Abaye, the Fishenim B'nai Torah. Maybe really when a non-Jew touches or even stirs wine without, and it's clearly not for idolatry, maybe it doesn't become prohibited from benefit. That's the bottom line law. But what happened there was that they were not B'nai Torah. Those towns were towns of people that were not knowledgeable in Torah. So they have to be extra strict with them in order to keep them in line. Really, this would have been permitted to have benefit. But they would then maybe even use wine of non-Jews for benefit. So therefore, they have to say to them, it's all prohibited. V'amar li, Abaye said back to me, Tveria and Naharda, Einan B'nai Torah. You think Tveria and Naharda are more ignorant versus Mechoza? Mechoza, they are B'nai Torah. You ruled in Mechoza that it was allowed for benefit. The people in Mechoza are not knowledgeable. Okay, so that was examples being against Rava's ruling. But then Abaye said more than that. There's a brisa against Rava's ruling. Masnisin. Masnisa, a brisa of Agardamim. Agardamim are government officials, regulators, that go into the stores to make sure that the scales are honest. That the scales are honest, inspectors, that the weights and measures are honest. So there was an Agardamim Ovid Kochavim. There was a Gentile wine inspector. Shekadach B'meinekes. He went into a store to check out the wine. He drilled a hole in the barrel and he put in a straw. Vehela. And he sucked on the straw and he got some wine out. Oh, shetam in a coat. So he goes into a barrel and he puts in a cup. He drinks from the cup. And he pours it, the rest left back into the barrel. That's for the Brisa's case. To make sure that it's wine. It says the Brisa, Zeha Yamaisa, this happened. Vasruhu. And they prohibited it from getting any benefit. Wow. Well, in a place like Bavel, it's Persian Empire, so the Gemara says here. Now, when the sages prohibited this wine because the non-Jewish inspector sipped some of it out in a straw, that's not avodah zarah. So my lav bana, presumably the sages prohibited it to get any benefit from it. So Rava says, no, b'shtiyah, it's just that they prohibited it to drink it, but you could still get benefit from it. So Abaye says, that's not the right way to read the Braisa. Ihachi, if that's the case, that you're just not allowed to drink it, but you are allowed to benefit from it, listni macher. Then the Braisa should have said that if the Naju drank some of the wine should be sold. Hiktani seifa, as in fact the seifa says. Let's say you have a Gentile lunatic who keeps, making fights, and he's very impulsive, and he's, crazy, grabs stuff all the time. If this Gentile lunatic puts his hand into a barrel, thinking that it was oil, it turns out that it's wine. That happened. That they said, just sell it. But you can't drink it, because since he thought it was oil, then certainly there's no decree, maybe it'll be idolatrous pouring. So you see, though, there's a difference between when he was under the impression it was oil versus the case where he knew it was wine. You see that when he knows it's wine and he's drilling a hole and he's drinking from that, it does become prohibited. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta de Rava. This should be a disproof of Rava. Answers the Gemara, okay, you're right, it is in fact a disproof to Yufta. It's a disproof of Rava. So Rava was disproven, and even in the case that we had started with, where the Gentile comes into the Jewish store, he doesn't know that it's wine, he puts his hand in to make sure that it's wine, then once he stirs it, it should be prohibited, not only from drinking, but prohibited from getting benefit from it. Okay, that was the end of that discussion. New discussion. Big monetary loss, that's for sure. Rabbi Yochanan ben Arza, Rabbi Yossi ben Nehorai. Rabbi Yochanan the son of Arza and Rabbi Yossi the son of Nehorai. Havu yasvi v'kashasu chamra. They were sitting and they were drinking wine. So two rabbis sitting and drinking. Asa u'gavra. A man walked by.
That's about you, Baruch, and Rabbi Cohen.
I'm not Cohen. A rabbi. That's the word.
Rabbi Papa. Even Rabbi Cohen and Pinchas. He had Pubiyat.
It's amazing. It reminds me of stories back in Iran that the Muslims, they were some handful of Muslims, they did the same thing to us as a Jew. So if like we touch their pile of thing, because the whole pile was no good. So we had to tell him which one we want. Okay, he picks it up for us, They were a very handful, not all of them, Or if we gave them money, we could not give it to them straight in their hand. Okay? Or, we had to put them on a shelf, and then he pours a spoon of water on the top of the money, okay, and then he takes the money and put them in the register. Wow.
So check it wasn't counterfeit.
No. It's just because the Jews, they
the Babels, so they reverse.
So it reminds me of the the same thing. It just it's a lousy feeling. I tell you that, Rabbi.
Keeps you distant.
That's
amazing.
So that's the
Muslim. So two rabbis were sitting and drinking wine. Asahu Gavra, a man walked by. Amrulay, the rabbi said to the man, Tashkinan, can you do us a favor? Can you pour us some wine? Vasa Ramalakasa, once he put the wine into the cup, turns out the guy is an idolater, he's not Jewish. So Chadas Rafilubana. So one rabbi said, okay, now we can't even get benefit from this wine. The other one said, no, we could keep drinking. Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi explained the rationales. Okay, Okay, the reasoning for the want to prohibit, there's a good explanation. Man deshari shapir shari, the reason for the one who permits, there's also a good explanation. Man dasa, the one who prohibits, it's like this. Meimar amar, the non-Jew is going to say, Salka daite, drabanan kihani, do you think that rabbis like this, shichur kashasi, are going to be drinking liquor? Nah. These are rabbis. Elavadai hai chamruhu. They're sitting and drinking. They're certainly drinking wine. They're not going to drink, you know, beer, liquor. They're drinking wine. And then they're telling me to pour it. All right, you know what? I have my hands on Jewish wine. The Naske, so once he has his hands on Jewish wine, he probably poured some of it to Avodah Zarah. Poured some of it to the idol. The whole thing becomes prohibited for benefit. Mandashari, whereas the rabbi who permitted them to keep drinking, also Shapir. Makes sense, we can understand it. Shapir, sure, it's good that his permission makes sense. It's reasonable why he permits. Because he'll say like this, Meimar Amar, this non-Jew probably says, Halkadaitach Drabanan, Kihani Chamra Kashasu, do you think that rabbis like this are going to be drinking wine? If they are rabbis, so they're very careful. They're not going to ask me, the non-Jew, to come pour it. They're going to tell me, come drink, come pour for us. They know non-Jews can't deal with Jewish wine. So if they're asking me to come pour, Vadai Shichru Kashasu. So that means they're drinking something lesser than wine. Maybe some liquor, some beer. There's no point in pouring beer to the idol. V'lo Nasrek. So he never thought to pour any of it to the idol. That's the argument. So Gemara says, one second. V'kachazi, the guy, the non-Jew knows what it is. He sees what he sees. Either it's you know, purple and wine, or it's, you know, yellow and liquor. He sees it. So Gemara says, Belaila. We're talking about the story happened at night, so the non-Jew couldn't see what he was dealing with. V'kamarachle, but then he could smell. He could smell the difference between whether it's wine or liquor. B'chadita, it was brand new wine that he couldn't smell. V'kanagabe, but once he touches, so then he sees. V'kanagabe benatla, he touches it because he uses the cup, right? He puts the cup into the barrel. So he's touching whatever it is. He's touching it. He knows that it's wine then. So even if he didn't know that it was wine, once he was touching it, even without intention, so it's a non-Jew touching things without intention of idolatry, so at least it should be prohibited to drink. Even if it's not prohibited to get benefit, it should be prohibited to drink. So the case where he didn't actually touch. He's just pouring. He's pouring from the barrel into the cups. His hand doesn't touch the liquid. So yes, it's his force that's making the wine move, but nevertheless, he doesn't know that it's wine. He doesn't know that it's idolatry. He's not thinking for idolatry. Whenever it's just his force making it move without any intent, the rabbis didn't make a decree, and it's even permissible to drink.
Okay, Rabbi, question. We are assuming all these Gentiles are Avodah Zarah people.
Yes.
Okay? How about if the guy is not Avodah Zarah? He lives in Hashem and touches it, but he's not a Jew. So is that the same rules?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not the same rules. It's not the same rules. We read this quickly yesterday, but just to review, in terms of today's halacha. So if a non-Jew is coming down from a tree, holding a branch, and the top of the branch touches wine unintentionally, or he's walking by, and his garment touches the wine unintentionally, or he didn't know it was wine, and he touches it indirectly, you are allowed to drink the wine. Nowadays, says the Ramah, the non-Jews don't really worship idols. So therefore, whatever they touch is considered touch without kavana. Uh-huh. So therefore, if he touches the wine indirectly through something else, even if he knows it was wine, you are allowed to drink.
The bottle's indirect, Ramah?
1 second. It's considered touch through something else without intent. That's what, and or if he doesn't even know it's wine when he touches, it's also permitted. But, says the Rama, don't tell too many people about this. Because Amaratzim will then just discount the whole idea of Gentiles with wine. Mm-hmm. That's what the Rama says. So, in turn, we're about to see in a second about waiters.
Yeah, with the pouring, because this...
No, so that's the next...
pouring is similar to libation.
That's going to be the next discussion. Okay, so let's see the next discussion, and we'll go to the rulings.
The bottle's
indirect. Yeah. It's like an avatum.
So, by mine, Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi asked the question of Rav Yochanan. Yayin shemnesacho ovid kochav imahu. What's the law about Jewish wine that the non-Jew puts water in it? Remember, their wine was very, very strong. They had to dilute it. But the non-Jew puts in the water to dilute it. Mahu, what's the law? Amalei, so he said, before I to answer your question about whether the wine becomes prohibited, v'ema mazgo, why do you use such fancy language? Nesacho ovid kochavim. What's wrong with the Hebrew word, mazgo? Amalei said, well, I use fancy language because I'm biblical. I'm just quoting a pasuk in Mishlei. Tavcha tivcha mascha yena. She slaughtered her slaughtering, she diluted her wine. Amalei said to him, lashon Torah la'atzma, lashon chacham la'atzma. You know what? Keep the Torah to the Torah, keep the rabbi's language to the rabbis. You're asking a halachic question, don't use fancy Hebrew. Use modern Hebrew. Okay. All right, that's after that. Going back to the question. Mai, what's the halacha? If the non-Jew puts water into the wine, what's the law? Emily Usser, he said, then it's not allowed. Why? Because we want to keep people away from things that are wrong. Like we find with a Nazir. Mishum lech amina nazira. When we see a Nazir, we tell him, okay, go, schor, go around this way, go around that way. Lekaima lo tikrav, don't come close to a vineyard. We want to keep people away from possibly sinning. So too, we keep people away from the problems of non-Jewish wine, even when it's just that the non-Jew diluted it, we won't let you drink it. And therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah Ikra L'Savta. Rabbi Yirmiyah came to a place called Savta. Chazachama Demazgi Oved Kochavim. He saw that in that town, there was wine that non-Jews were diluting. V'ishti Yisrael Minein. Jews were drinking from it. So he said, Aslu, he stopped them. He said, you can't. Mishum lech lech amrinan. When we say to the Nazir, go, schor, schor, go around and around. L'karma lo tikrav, don't come close to the vineyard. Itmar namri, we also learned, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Rami lo, they say, Am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi taught us the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Yayin shemizago, ovid kochavim, wine that a non-Jew dilutes. Aser is not allowed. Mishum lech lech amrinan. Nazira, go, we tell the Nazir, schor chor, round and around. L'karma lo tikrav, don't get close to the vineyard. Another story. Rish Lakish ikra l'batzra. Rish Lakish came to Basra in southern Iraq, and he made a mistake. He thought that Batzra is the place, Betzer Bamidbar, which is really part of the land of Israel. Chaz Yisrael dekachli peyret l'omahasi. He saw Jews eating grain without separating tithes. So he told him, you can't. You have to separate the tithes. It's really the land of Israel. It's Betzer. Chazamaya de Sagdi Lehu of de Kochavim. He saw water that non-Jews were bowing to. The Shasa Yisrael, and the Jews were drinking it. Vasalu, he said, you can't drink it. It's idolatry. Asalakam de Yochanan. Then when he came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amarle, he said to him, no, go change your mind quickly. Adam Akutra Chalach Zil Hadar. When your clothing is still on you, go and return. Betzer, lavainu batzer. The Torah's place in the land of Israel is Betzer, not batzer. And in terms of the water, mayim shel rabim ein nesarim, water that belongs to the community, doesn't become prohibited by people bowing to it, because Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, this is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Shimon Yotzadok, mayim shel rabim ein nesarim, water that belongs to the community does not become prohibited because people cannot prohibit that which they don't own. Okay, so that's today's daf, but again, to go back, we had learned that a story, if a guy had poured wine from a utensil, so the Gemara said that even though he just poured it, it was prohibited. But if he doesn't even know that it's wine, so then we said, kocho shelo bekavana, when it's his force without knowledge, then they never made a decree on that.
But we even said a baby who has no das could make it.
That was just the view of Rav. We may not have accepted that. So the Shulchan Aruch paskens, if a guy takes a utensil of wine, and he lifts it up, and wine comes out, even though he didn't touch the wine, he didn't stir the wine, you're not allowed to drink the wine, because the wine came from his strength. But if he didn't know it was wine, when he pours it, then it's permitted even to drink. Now, the Shach points out that based on what the Rama said, that I just quoted before, that the Goyim nowadays don't worship idols, and therefore we can be lenient with them. So therefore, says the Shach, in terms of this case of pouring, where he doesn't actually touch the wine, nowadays you can be lenient. But don't tell the Amoratzim this, because they're then going to discount the whole issue of Goyim with wine. They'll permit him even wine that a Goy actually touches. Now, what about a waiter? Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question, and he said like this. It's true the Shach permits it. The Shach permits it. But the Shach said elsewhere that he's permitting when there's a financial loss. So Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that's only the case if it happened to occur. So let's say there was a waiter. He was supposed to handle only the mevushel wine. By mistake, he handled the non-mevushel wine. It would be a financial loss for us to throw it out. Then you are allowed. But you can't ask a waiter to go do so lechatchila. That's the view of Rav Moshe Feinstein.
You're allowed to drink it.
If it was done, you're allowed to drink.
So, Rabbi, what's the most severe issue in the case of the non-mamushal wine? Is it the pouring or the touching?
The touching would be more severe. But that's unlikely that the guy's going to touch it nowadays.
So, Rabbi, according to this ruling, then mamushal and non-mamushal, they're allowed to be served by a Gentile.
According to the Shach, correct. According to the Shach, non-mavushal can be served. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's the one who's argued that maybe the Shach didn't mean it always, only meant it in
a
case.
I think Shach was the master of Lechaim rules. And, you know, I think it was a very Lechaim guy.
Well, maybe that's what's going on in Israel, right? Because you see in Israel, almost all the wine is non-mavushal, and a lot of the waiters are not Shomer Shabbos,
right,
and they're pouring the wines.
So that's exactly the line, or
well, a non Shomer Shabbos has the same status as a non Jew.
Good.
So that put the non mevushel wine, like they hide it, they put it on the floor so that they don't see it even. Is there a sight issue?
No, there's no issue of sight.
It's just touching.
Rabbi, it's impossible not to know intentionally the wine. It was not the wine, you know, they had no intention of, you know.
Why? They didn't know what it was.
No, Rabbi, the wine smells, you go 5 feet away from the wine.
It's new wine, it doesn't have such a smell.
You know, so from the smell, he knows it's the wine. Why was it not intentional? He didn't know.
He didn't know.
Of course it is there, come on.
So now, there are some people that they have the waiters wear gloves. So Moshe Feinstein said that doesn't help. That's not considered touch through something else. Because since he's wearing it on his hand, he thinks it's like the hand itself.
Well, same with the stick, with the guy coming down from the tree.
Absolutely. Right. Then he said there are places that, he said if you're going to let the waiter bring the wine, maybe the waiter actually touched the wine. Then you have to have a mashgiach, right, to watch to make sure he doesn't touch. People don't have mashgichim for this because they're not paying attention for it. So it's like wine that a non-Jew has without anybody watching it. So that's also a problem.
But Rabbi, the issue with the glove, isn't it more like the stick or the pouring?
Because no, because he said since it's on the hands, it's like the hand itself.
It's
directly on the hand. But just one last thing. The Shevet HaLevi says that if a waiter poured the wine, and he's not a guy, he's just a Mechalel Shabbos, so then he does permit you to drink the wine, because he says, you know, there's reason to be lenient for when he's just pouring. And, you he's also not a non-Jew, really. He's just being treated like a non-Jew. He said, but it's certainly better to avoid drinking the wine unless you know it's fully kosher and handled by the Jews.
I'm not
yeah,
easy question, to be a Jew.
Maybe
you can
have, I know too much rules and regulations. Maybe I don't feel. We're putting shalosh. Too much. He put my
hand
in there.
Right.
I don't remember how it says so. I think this is what it says, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's only Gemara and Brachos. So you always have to dilute wine.
And Rabbi, grape juice is the same?
No, grape juice is cooked. So you don't have to do that. It's pasteurized. It's militia. It's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I could not come to.